Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good evening, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. This is Radio Free Redoubt, the weekly podcast. Thank you guys for your patience. We were not able to do a show last Sunday, but boy, we were bringing the latest and greatest each morning on the morning commute. This evening, I want to hit on a couple of things. We'll talk about Israel. As you know, we were elevated to AMCON 2, which is disruptions expected because it looked like there was a very high probability of the Israeli counterattack against the Iranians completely going, you know, expanding into a very large conflict. So we just wanted to, just out of caution, we wanted to increase everyone's readiness and awareness to that threat. Now, it seems like, and since then, just this afternoon, we lowered the AMCON back down to AMCON 3, which is still increased probability of a disruptive event to critical infrastructure, telecommunications, and so on, just because of how volatile things are in the world. We're continuing to watch that. But I want to talk about Israel. There's a lot of information out there about, there's a lot of information out there. Some of it seems like it's contradictory. There's some who allegedly are intelligence personnel or putting out analyses that are saying this was a botched, it was a huge failure on Israel's part, and going along with this narrative about Israel being the occupiers and the Palestinians, it's their land, and it's just pretty ridiculous. But I want to lay it out there how I see it. And Amir Sarfati has been, you know, he's a Christian, I don't want to say pastor, but he's an author, former Israeli intelligence or Israeli, I don't know if he's intelligence or not. I know he was a major in the IDF. Then he became a tour guide in Israel, taking groups around Israel and teaching them about the history of wherever they were, you know, touring. And he started doing a blog, and then he started getting into more evangelism and writing books, and he's very politically active and astute and plugged in. Since then, he's done a whole series and speaking tours on end times prophecy as it relates to Israel. Of course, end times prophecy is all about Israel. Anyway, he's just been a really great source for timely information, volumes of information, just a high volume source of timely information. And I found it to be, you know, very accurate and reliable. So he shared something that I want to share tonight and talk about as far as Israel's history and heritage. But then I want to talk about this bill that is before Congress right now to essentially ban any type of training between, you know, people that are training, you know, militias and church security teams. I mean, this could affect a whole wide array of security and militias and so on. So anyway, I'm going to talk about that tonight. And that actually is called the Unauthorized Private Paramilitary Activity Act. It's a bill. It's H.R. 6981. I'm going to go through that and talk about some of its implications. I have mentioned it in the past. This came out in January. It's still in Congress. I'm not sure exactly what committee it's in. I can't, at govtrack.us, you know, that's where you get the latest status. I don't have that yet. But anyway, I'm going to get into that after the news and commentary, and then we'll have Lady Liberty joining me in the studio for segment four. So let's get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary brought to you by Prepping 2.0, helping to take your preps to the next level. And that is at prepping2-0.com, the podcast there with Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher. First, from defenseblog.com, very interesting. This Chinese mystery drone was spotted attached to H-6 bomber. Observers have spotted a Chinese new WZ-8 high-speed reconnaissance drone under the fuselage of a PLAAF, the People's Liberation Army Air Force, a Jian H-6 bomber. So this drone, the WZ-8, reportedly designed to operate at speeds three times faster than sound, soaring at an altitude of 30 kilometers. Unlike conventional drones, the WZ-8 cannot independently take off. Instead, it relies on air launching from a Jian H-6 MW mothership, a bomber, which initiates the launch sequence once achieving the required speed and altitude. The drone then engages its rocket motors, and that's what propels it to its operational speed and altitude. This high-altitude, high-speed drone fills a critical gap in intelligence gathering, especially in scenarios where satellite coverage may be limited or impractical. Its ability to conduct prolonged flights over specific regions enhances situational awareness and strategic planning in complex combat environments. So China is planning for their satellites being targeted. That's what this is. This is a replacement for satellites. Not to replace them, but it's the replacement should they be taken out. And they're fully expecting, and we are fully expecting, them to target our satellites because they are critical for communications, for navigation, and targeting, and so on. So it's a given they are going to be, they are developing weapons specifically designed to target and disrupt satellites, from passive measures such as jamming to active kinetic measures, I should say, where they will take them out with debris fields, rockets, lasers, and so on. So this is alarming. That this is a confirmation that China is preparing for war, and they are preparing for contingencies here should they lose their satellites. And the alarming part is that we're not. And now, that's not to say there's classified programs that are being developed, and I'm sure somebody's working on this, but it is getting very little attention, and the reports that are coming from Congress are not really reassuring about our national security. And of course, it doesn't help that we're spending and sending more and more of our military hardware, you know, over to Ukraine and spending like drunken sailors and so on. But anyway, I thought that was very interesting. Wanted to share that with you. Next. Australian police are going to be the source of truth, not social media and misinformation. Their own words. Listen to this. This is from Australia. You should not have given up your guns. That was so sad to see what happened to Australia during COVID and these lockdowns. It was like out of a movie. It was 1984 comes alive. It was brutal, and they want to control the information. The police are going to be the ministers of truth. Listen to this police spokesperson give this briefing.
If we have current credible information about any risk or threat to the community, we will let them know. We will share that with the community. So please be assured that police will be the source of truth and not social media and misinformation.
Right, because social media is synonymous with misinformation, and information coming from the government is synonymous with truth. Yeah, we all get that. Just like the truth that COVID was going to kill, you know, billions of people, and the vaccines are safe. And we get it. So that's obviously, you know, quite alarming as well. Not as much as this story. And this comes from Fox News. This is just unbelievable. Democrats look to strip the Secret Service protection from Trump if he is convicted. The so-called Disgrace Act directly targets Trump, who is facing 91 felony charges in federal and state courts. They came out with this specifically with Trump in mind. Lunacy. And speaking of lunacy, just this past week, according to Police Frequency, who picked this up off of Fox, just this past week, California Democrats modified a bill designed to protect children being sold for sex. They changed the age limits, among other things, to that if a man purchases a 16-year-old, he won't see more than a night in jail. Republican California State Senator Shannon Grove describes the changes they made, saying the bottom line is all children need to be protected, close quote. Those advocating for child predators, California State Senators Scott Wiener, Nancy Skinner, and Aisha Wahab, those are the three that are pushing, that pushed for this change. Modifying this bill so you can purchase a 16-year-old for sex, and it's not a felony. It's they essentially made it legalized. You may or may not get a night in jail, according to the verbiage of this. It's absolutely atrocious, which is why people are leaving that godforsaken state. And probably sooner rather than later, before God decides to drop the hammer of judgment on that place, or America for that matter, we're in a lot of trouble. There's no doubt about it. But stick around. We're going to talk about this Palestina ex monumentis here in segment two, the true history of Palestine. So stick around. This is Radio Free Redoubt. The voice of the American Redoubt will return right after this.
This is the final battle. With you at my side, we will demolish the deep state. We will expel the warmongers from our government. We will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists, Marxists, and fascists. We will throw off the sick political class that hates our country. We will rout the fake news media, and we will liberate America from these villains once and for all.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Welcome back. Segment two of Radio Free Redoubt, episode 24-08. And this segment here, I want to go over something that Amir Sarfati passed along. It's puzzling to me, frankly, to see Christian patriots get caught up in the disinformation. I mean, it is designed to deceive and mislead. This is not misinformation. This is not just somebody trying to put something out. They didn't vet it. It's not complete information, or it was done inadvertently. Disinformation is done maliciously. It is specifically designed to mislead, to put bad information. And how many are caught up? I didn't think I would see this in my lifetime. The anti-Semitism, the like quoting Hitler, Nazi type of rhetoric against Israel for Hamas, and not so much in the Christian community, but a lot of anti-Jewish type of venomous stuff coming out of so-called Christians. And but just in the across society in the US, Canada, Europe, it's stunning actually to see people openly calling for the death of America, the destruction of Israel, the death to Jews, and pro Hamas, pro terrorist rhetoric being spewed on the streets of America, waving terrorist flags, murderers, rapists, baby dismembering organ, declared terrorist organization, and vowing support for them. This is a strange shift, where just a few years ago it was down with ISIS, down with Al-Qaeda, they're all terrorists, they all need to die, hunt them down like dogs. And now terrorists are being defended. And we've seen this red-green axis for a long time with the Muslims and the communists teaming up. And actually, this is a decades-old thing. And this is something that Spetsnaz did, the Soviets did. With the PLO is basically a Russian-Soviet project. And they were, you know, they've been teaming up with these guys for, you know, a long time. So, and of course, you know, I know the United States did too. We trained up Taliban, you know, to help them fight the Soviets, and to, you know, the proxy war going on there, and so on. So this has been running for, you know, quite some time. But to see the mainstream culture turning like kill all the Jews, and I wish Hamas should have done more, October 7th should have been more violent. I don't know how much more violent you could be other than continue doing it and not being stopped by armed civilians and security forces and police that started rolling into the area and fending them off. It couldn't. The violence they carried out is the worst of the worst. They did the worst things that you can do to people, and are still holding hostages. And they're using their own people as human shields. They're stealing aid and relief from the people and then using that as propaganda, how these people are starving, while they go into these tunnels and they're finding all this aid and relief that was hijacked at gunpoint, literally shooting their own people, killing them to take food, medicine, other supplies, and they're finding it in these tunnels that the IDF goes through to clear these tunnels, and there's all the aid. There's all the aid and relief. So the big question is, and this administration is pushing for this two-state solution. They're saying there will be a two-state solution. Well, only at the hands of the Antichrist. Until then, until God says otherwise, there will not be a two-state solution. But there will be, Israel will be defended. And it's always belonged to them. There has been a lot of documentation on this, and I'd not seen this one before, but Amir posted it. And he writes, "Let's become experts in Palestine." And he refers to a document by Hadriani Rolandi. And it's all written in Latin. Palestina ex monumentis veteribus illustrata. So this is what Amir writes. pro-Israelis, pro-Palestinians, let's become experts in real history of Palestine. Otherwise, one might think that you don't know what you're talking about. This book is written in Latin in 1695. Rolandi was describing what he was then, what was then called Palestine. The author, Adriani Rolandi, was a geographer, cartographer, traveler, philologist, and he knew several European languages. He knew Arabic, ancient Greek, and Hebrew. He visited almost 2,500 settlements mentioned in the Bible. He made a population census by settlements. Now remember, this is in 1695. Here are the main conclusions and some facts. First, the country is mainly empty when he was there and documenting this. The country was mainly empty, abandoned, sparsely populated. The main population is Jerusalem, Acco, Tzifat, Jaffa, Tiberia, and Gaza. Most of the population is Jews. Almost everyone else are Christians, very few Muslims, mostly Bedouins. Next, the only exception is Nablus, which is now called Shechem, where approximately 120 people from the Muslim family Nacha and approximately 70 Shomronims, Samaritans, were living there. Next, in Nazareth, the capital of Galilee, lived approximately 700 people, all Christians. Next, in Jerusalem, there were about 5,000 people at the time when he did the census. In Jerusalem, there are about 5,000 people, almost all Jews and a few Christians. In 1695, everyone knew that the origin of the country was Jewish. There's not a single settlement in Palestine that has Arabic roots in its name. Most settlements have Jewish originals, and in some cases, Greek or Roman Latin. About 550 people lived in Gaza, half of them Jews and half Christians. Jews were successful in agriculture, especially in vineyards, olives, and wheat. Christians were engaged in trade and transportation. The book completely refutes theories about Palestinian traditions, quote-unquote, Palestinian people, quote-unquote, and leaves almost no link between the land and the Arabs, who even stole the land's Latin name, Palestine, and took it for themselves. As you know, this was way after after Christ. It was, I think I want to say 130 or 140 A.D., they changed the name to Palestina, which was a throw-off from the Philistines, which is a age-old enemy of Israel. These people hated Israel, they hated Jews, and they wanted to try to strip them of their heritage. So it was a Roman emperor who changed the name to Palestine, or Palestina, and hence the place became known as Palestine, until it was changed to Israel when Israel became a state again. But the book by Adrian Reland, who died in 1718, about Palestine, published in Utrecht in 1714. And now, free Palestine, people. Remind me, please, why are you trying to free Palestine from its original indigenous people, Jews, and give it to colonizers and occupiers, Arabs? And, you know, the Bible is the authority on this. I mean, it's referred to as Israel hundreds of years before Christ, thousands of years before Christ. Blessed, this is from Psalm 72. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This is from the book of Psalms, King David. about what? 1,000 years before Christ? Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel. Not Palestine. There was no Palestine. It was called Palestina by Romans who hated the Jews and hated Israel. And this was a poke in their eye, really. That's what that was about. So we know who it belongs to, and God has got their backs. And if you want to get on the wrong side of God, which is the apple of his eye, get on the wrong side of Israel. You don't have to like Jews, but he has a covenant with Israel and the people of Israel. He has a covenant to redeem them. Yes, they're rejecting him right now, wholly, as a culture. There are a lot of increasingly more numbers of Christian Jews, Messianic Jews, who accept that Christ is the Messiah that they've been waiting for forever and ever. And he is the Christ, the King. He is the Messiah. He died and rose again, and they believe that. But there is going to be a massive revival to redeem Israel, and they will cry out for him. They will recognize Christ as their Messiah, but not after some hardship. And it's going to take 2/3 of the Jews are going to be killed. And the remaining are going to recognize him as the Messiah and cry out for him. And he's going to return, and he's going to restore everything. Right now, it is still Israel, and there is a covenant that he won't break. So get on the right side of things. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about this bill that they've got in place. I'm going to go through it. We're going to read it about preventing private military activity. They've since amended it. It's the Unauthorized Private Paramilitary Activity of H.R. 6981. So we know where they're headed. We're going to talk about that. Stick around. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more. Welcome to segment 3 of Radio Free Redoubt, the weekly podcast. Thank you all for joining me, for sticking around. Thank you all for maintaining readiness, situational awareness, and vigilance with the challenges that we have in this country and the world, which is just coming unraveled right now. They definitely do not, they cannot allow President Trump to be president again. Because he almost ruined their democracy the first time. The second time, he's coming back with a sling blade, and they can't allow it. They've got a plan. They've got an agenda. They're running naked to the finish line right now. They're not even holding back. They're not even trying to sugarcoat their agenda, and they're moving forward. But they cannot have the Patriots armed, organized, and trained. They have to eliminate any potential threat or obstructions, any barriers to their agenda. The armed citizenry in America is a major thorn in their side. One of the ways they're trying to fix it is the Preventing Private Paramilitary Activity Act of 2024. It's H.R. 6981. It was submitted, I believe, it was introduced on January 11th of this year. So this is a bill to amend Title 18 United States Code to prohibit unauthorized private paramilitary activity and for other purposes. It may be cited as the Preventing Private Paramilitary Act of 2024. So Section 2 covers the prohibition of unauthorized private paramilitary activity. And they get into the definitions, preemption, and the law itself. So let's cover this. They get into ammunition, which is defined in this section and that section, and Title 10, Section 101, Title 10 covers armed forces, which are exempt from this, you know, that kind of thing. The definition of dangerous weapon, basically firearms. The term person means any individual, partnership, corporation, company, association, firm, society, organization, or government entity, whether incorporated or unincorporated. A private military organization. Listen up, church security teams. The term private paramilitary organization means any group of three or more persons associating under a command structure for the purpose of functioning in public or training to function in public as a combat, combat support, law enforcement, or security services unit. Security services unit. So, combat, there's your militias. Combat support, pretty much anybody that could provide any type of support whatsoever, including their suppliers, stores. I mean, when are they going to start going to all the gun shops, Walmart, any place that sells ammunition or accessories, and start, you know, like the old FBI wanted posters in the post offices? They're going to have identifications there of known paramilitaries. Don't sell to this person because they're associated or affiliated with this, or they were in this 3% or chat group, or they used to be a member of Oath Keepers or whatever. I mean, use your imagination where this is going. Now, you're exempt from this if you're part of a regularly organized state militia. So the government supremacists are making sure to word this. So the term regularly organized state militia includes a defense force authorized under Section 109C of Title 32. Then they define what they mean by state. So here's the offense. 2742, Section 2742, unauthorized private military activity. It shall be unlawful to knowingly, in a circumstance described in subsection B, while acting as part or on behalf of a private military organization, private paramilitary organization, and armed with a firearm, explosive, or incendiary device, or other dangerous weapon, to 1, publicly patrol, drill, or engage in techniques capable of causing bodily injury or death. So you have a neighborhood security team, Antifa's burning the place to the ground. You get together with three or four people. You establish a communications plan with got your walkie-talkies. So-and-so is going to be in charge, and he's going to be, you know, feeding everybody information, report back. There's your command structure. To publicly patrol and being capable of causing bodily injury or death. That's called a deterrent. But anyway, number 2, to interfere with, interrupt, or attempt to interfere with or interrupt government operations or a government proceeding. Okay, they're thinking January 6th there when they wrote that. Interfere with or intimidate another person in that person's exercise of any right under the Constitution of the United States. So, them calling for the death of America, pro-Hamas, across the street, and you standing on the other side of the street with a couple of your buddies, making sure they don't try burning things down to the ground, just standing there armed, and then they cry, we're exercising our First Amendment rights, and they're intimidating us just by standing there. Just being armed and capable of bodily injury or death. It says just capable of it. That's a Second Amendment right. If you're carrying a firearm, you are capable of causing bodily injury or death. That means you are dangerous, like you should be. That's the whole point. Deterrence. Anyway, number four, assume the function of law enforcement officer, peace officer, or public official, whether or not acting under the color of law, and thereby assert authority or purport to assert authority over another person without the consent of that person. You mean like citizen's arrest? If you catch somebody breaking the law and you place them under citizen's arrest, well, now you're going to be assuming the function of law enforcement, right? That's the angle. So basically, they can do whatever you want. You can't do anything about it. Five, train to engage in any activity described in paragraphs 1 through 4. So if you train to engage in activity to patrol while armed, just training, doing patrol training, this is how you patrol. This is how you set up your wedge, you know, your ranger file, or, you know, this is how, just training. And it doesn't even limit what type of training there is. You could be using a blackboard. You could be using a whiteboard and a dry erase markers to lay out how your patrol and your training, right? You're training for the eventuality when you might have to patrol while being capable of bodily harm. The circumstances described in this subsection are that the conduct described in subsection A involves travel across state lines or national borders, involves a firearm that has traveled in interstate or foreign commerce. So go across the border to help your fellow patriots out on the other border. Well, if it involves the use of ammunition of large capacity ammunition feeding devices, high capacity mags, and it's not just interstate travel here. Number five, occurs wholly within any Commonwealth, territory, or possession of the United States. So, of course, then they've got their exceptions. Doesn't apply to armed forces. A group or individuals who associate as a military organization solely for the purpose of historical reenactments. And so these are just your exemptions. Any person who violates subsection A shall be fined under this title, imprisoned for not more than 1 year or both. So it's a misdemeanor. But this is a dangerous piece of legislation. It has all kinds of, you can go check it out for yourself. You can go to govtrack.us, read the whole document. It's H.R. 6981. Preventing Private Paramilitary Activity Act of 2024, H.R. 6981. It's a violation of the Second Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the First Amendment, on and on. These government supremacists believe that the militia is the National Guard or a state overseen by the state, an official state, State Guard, but the militia is the whole body of the people that should be armed all the time. It's not for burglars and it's not for deer hunting. It is for tyranny. And of course, the tyrants all throughout history took these very same measures prior to them really bringing their final plan into play. So stand against this. Stand against this. And we don't have a lot of faith in Congress right now for doing the right thing. Fortunately, there are a lot of people that are fighting against this, but you should be aware of it. These are the steps that tyrants take prior to making their move. So heads up. All right, we'll be back in segment 4 coming up here with Lady Liberty joining me in the studio, and we'll get this wrapped up. So stick around, Patriots. We'll be right back with Radio Free Redoubt in a moment.
At the end of the day, either the communists win, destroy America, or we destroy the communists, because that's what they are.
This is Chris Walsh, a Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Welcome back to the fourth and final segment here of Radio Free Redoubt, episode 24-08. And I've got codename segment 4 in the studio, Lady Liberty. Good evening.
Well, good evening to you and everyone out there. We've got a kind of an alarming thing that I wanted to share with you. I mean, it's not surprising, but to me, it is like, it's kind of like pulling something old and dead that's been buried for 10 years, pulling it back up and having to look at it again. This is what I've pulled up for this evening. And so what I wanted to share with everyone was, I mean, this was how I got my start in the whole fight against the globalists to begin with in 2006.
Right.
Was this whole national animal identification system problem.
Yes.
And it was a huge problem, and like I was describing before to everyone, that is when I started researching this, I only knew that I recognized it as being a fascist program,
right?
That was going to steal property, water rights, and remove and prohibit livestock ownership.
Yes.
Well, that whole thing was, boy, what a mess. And finding out, of course, after all those years of research, that this was a UN program. And so, you know, I went to work full time against it for 3 solid years, and
yes,
and pretty much was leading the national effort in organizing all the researchers across America. I was one of the top 3. The primary 3 researchers, putting out over 720 different articles and pieces of research that I dug up myself.
Right.
And so watching this whole thing unfold, where they wanted to radio frequency microchip every livestock animal under the guise, not telling anybody that this was a United Nations program,
right,
but telling everybody it was to keep the food supply safe.
Oh boy!
Well,
so this was down to chickens, even.
Oh no! This was down to every single animal you could own, even your grandma's parakeet. Right?
Oh.
They wanted chips in tilapia. If you were farming tilapia, they wanted microchips in your fish, as if that wouldn't kill them. Well, so this was extremely invasive, pervasive, and it was already been working in the EU for a decade by the time it
right
came here. Well, and so here's what they tried to do. We watched them just run this huge fear campaign for years, saying, well, oh my gosh, the entire food supply is going to be harmed, and all these animals are going to have disease and spread it to people.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to have to do all of these mass cullings of all of these livestock animals.
Oh, yeah.
Chickens, pigs, turkeys, cows, you name it. They're all going to have all these dangerous diseases, and it's going to threaten the whole food supply. Well, well, so we beat this all back. We beat this all back, and in fact, this went on so long that on one of the websites where we were posting our research and information so that people could coordinate across the nation, there was somebody that posted a very peculiar threat. It was on nonace.org that they posted this threat that said, well, if you guys are going to block all of these, you know, different diseases or whatever, if you're gonna put blocks on them as far as, you know, what we're going to be allowed to do with them, we will just introduce a disease from the northeast corner of the United States across the Canadian border.
Oh.
And we went, oh, what? You know, that is considered a bio threat.
Yeah, that's a bioweapon.
That is a bioweapon threat that was just made on this huge national website. And so the owner of the website instantly had that posting traced. And it was traced back to the headquarters of the USDA.
Oh.
Into a specific cubicle in the USDA headquarters. They knew even the guy in which cubicle who is working for the USDA posted that.
Wow.
And so they pressed criminal charges, and the USDA hit it. They said, we will, this is an internal matter, and we will take care of this.
Oh,
this
they're going to sweep it under the rug.
They were the ones that issued this comment, basically letting the cat out of the bag for how they work.
That's
right?
Where your congressman needs to know about it.
Yes, exactly. And so here we had this huge, I mean, that was massive. That was, that just reverberated around the nation.
Should have made national news.
Yep, exactly. Well, it did to everybody that was paying attention. Everybody knew about that.
Right.
And so this is the kind of level that they operate at. And you know, we've watched different leaders of the USDA be extremely shady and very much supportive of this entire United Nations agenda 21, where it would facilitate the UN dictates
and government supremacists.
Right. And so so the alarming part to me is that now it's 20. This was all of that got pushed back and more or less stopped in 2009. Well, now this is coming back again under the Biden regime, just like we're seeing all the rest of the things that were huge issues that I wrote my book about. They're all coming back and becoming center stage as well. And so I just wanted to start here with these different clips that I've pulled out, these different articles, where, first of all, this is quite the alarming article. It says, USDA and Chinese CCP lab are creating lethal bird flu viruses as part of a $1 million collaboration funded by U.S. taxpayers. And so you go, well, wait a minute. How could that be, right? Well, this is how this stuff gets into the food supply. They introduce it on purpose, and they're relatively harmless issues, little, you know, health problems that poultry can have, and it's, you know, it's something that is easily taken care of with antibiotics that you can give to all of the poultry. And then once the antibiotics are back out of their system, everybody's healthy, they're fine. They don't have to do any drastic, huge, massive.
Like, we need to kill 10 million of your
chickens.
Right.
Yeah, we need to wipe out every chicken in Texas. You know, that's absurd.
Yeah.
They're easily treatable with antibiotics that are easily administered in their food. And so, and then it's gone from their system after a couple of weeks. Well, and so then here the next one is breaking news, human bird flu cases, an enormous concern with the World Health Organization.
Oh,
this is the same exact, I mean, identical campaign that they were trying to do with this fear-mongering.
Yep.
And here is, let me just jump to the end of the chase here, where what this is designed to do is create so much fear that it allows agencies to go in and completely obliterate all the livestock animals.
Right.
And against the will of the owner, it doesn't matter. They've now got this disease vector that they've got to eradicate, right?
And it also opens the door for them to implement this tracing program with the chip,
yes,
the RFID chip, yep, all the ones that they don't kill.
Right.
So we can track this better.
Yes.
Back to the source, the origin.
Yes, and that was what the whole justification for this radio frequency identification chip was, based on cell tower radio frequency that could be read. I'm sure now it's way higher. I'm sure you could probably be a mile away from any cell tower and be easily read. And so this is, they use the fear mongering to force this microchipping onto all your animals, which basically steals all your property rights, your animal ownership rights, any of your privacy, anything.
Yeah.
It steals it all, and you become nothing other than a victim of a fascist system, and you're an indentured servant to all of their draconian dictates that are dictatorship-like, and communist in origin, of course. And so this is the fear-mongering. They're going to introduce another minor issue for whatever livestock animal, shove it into the food supply, create all this fear around it so that
knows how many tons of food.
Right. So that they gain control over all of the food supply. This is what Stalin did. I mean this is my expertise area right here.
Yes.
Stalin did this, and they are using that as a blueprint. They use the Stalin model, where he industrialized the entire food supply in Russia, wiped out all the little farmers, and so he had complete control over the industrialized food supply, which in turn caused 20 million of his own people to starve to death.
Right.
And so that's what they want. That's this whole Lenin statement where it says, you want to see control. Give me somebody that's starving or thirsty when I've got the food and the water.
Right.
That is exactly what the strong arm tactic is, that is directly associated with all of these things that they're doing.
Well, so, and like you pointed out in your book, you know, they bragged about this. It was all over their flyers and everything in the 70s. Population control, food control, and weapons
guns
control.
And weapons control. Yep, that's their three primary goals, and every single one of their thousands of programs that they have now all originate with those three original
catalysts or kind of drivers.
They're the entire backbone of the United Nations program is food control, population control, guns and weapons control, and
right,
all the other programs stem out of one of those three.
Right, they support those.
Yep, yeah. And so this whole thing that, you know, if you control the food supply, you control the population.
Right.
And so here's the next one. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service on Saturday issued a nationwide public health alert for ground beef products that may be contaminated with E. coli. Right. Oh, quick. Go and destroy millions and millions of tons of beef.
Right.
Because it might have E. coli. Well, gee, who did that? Right. Who added the E. coli so that we'd have this fear-mongering problem again?
Right.
Well, so if I remember from way back then, the director of the USDA, Vilsack was very much in support of all these UN programs, these draconian measures, the fear mongering, and he was absolutely against, you know, the the standard American small farmer.
Right.
They're not going to say that, but everything that they brought out was designed to limit the small farmer and go along with the UN programs, the Agenda 21 garbage.
Yep.
And so seeing that all of this is coming back up is just like dragging up an old dead carcass.
Yes.
Where I'm just going, you've got to be kidding. They're going to do this same exact thing all over again.
Well, you, when they come forward with any agenda, their mind is set on it.
Oh, yeah.
You cannot defeat them and walk away and say, yay, we beat them. It's coming back. Gun control, the children control, the education, every program they try, they will come back. If you beat them, they're going to come back. That's why you got to stay vigilant. You got to stay on top of them. You have to be ready for a sustained fight.
That's right. And also understand that you're going to start watching animal diseases come out of the woodwork.
Yep.
Not because they're there naturally occurring. They're there because somebody has now introduced them intentionally, because that's the only way they can get this stuff done and start generating a whole bunch of fear in order to have everybody just fall all over themselves and give up all of their control and all of their rights. It's the same tactic they use for everything.
Yes.
And so, you know, in fact, here's another interesting thing. They do this kind of garbage too. Two hunters may have become the first Americans to die from a zombie deer disease in infected deer meat. Now listen very carefully to that title. Two hunters may have become the first Americans to die from a zombie deer disease.
Oh, geez.
Right?
Rabid Rudolph.
Yeah, there you go.
We actually ran an emergency communications training exercise called Rabid Rudolph based on this.
Oh, seriously?
Wow, yes.
Wow. Well,
yeah,
that's
3 years ago.
That's funny. More. Because this is a fear-mongering article. There's no definitive anything that has happened here. It's this may have happened. And that's all people need to hear to go, oh, no, heaven help us.
Right. Well, then they're going to state that as fact when they're getting grant funding, when they're trying to pass policy, when the World Health Organization, they're going to refer to this article and say, we're doing this in response to the threat of XXX.
Well, and here's the thing, too, is having me being a professional horseman and a lifelong involved in veterinary care for horses and being able to treat all their injuries myself and do everything that they've ever needed, just because I've had to deal with so many different cases across the past 50 years, right?
Right.
And so when you know how to treat animals that are sick, when they're injured, you get a pretty comprehensive idea as to what's a big deal and what's not.
Oh, you mean taking matters into your own hands without relying on the professionals?
Oh, heaven forbid, right?
Yeah, in lab coats.
right. You have so much experience, you don't even need their help any longer.
That's what bugs them.
Oh, that's
when you don't need them.
That's horrifying. Yes. To somebody that makes a bazillion dollars off of every last little cut and nick.
To government supremacists, that's horrifying.
Right. And to veterinarians, because they made a huge bunch of money off of this whole NACE fear-mongering thing to begin with.
Right.
And the veterinarians actually became the enemy of the people. They jumped right on board because they had tons of money to make. Same thing that we saw the doctors doing with all this COVID garbage.
Yes.
And so the same thing happened on the veterinarian end of things too. And so you know, like things like hoof and mouth disease. If you are a livestock person that has grown up with cows and how to raise cows and livestock, you know that hoof and mouth disease is caused by feeding ground up bone material from that animal back to that animal.
Right.
Like in the whole milk cow and cattle industry, they'll take cow bones and they actually grind them up into powder, these companies,
for calcium
supplements back to the milk cows.
And oh, that's my gosh.
That
cannibalism.
Yes. Mad cow disease is basically causing cannibalism in a cow. And so what happens is the same thing that will happen to every species, that you start feeding their own species.
Right.
It's not a disease. It's not a contagious disease. You cannot
get it. It's
not
an outbreak.
It's not an outbreak.
Change their diet.
Quickly, if it's not too late. I mean, it's terrible to get any, let alone feeding them a regular supply of their own species. That causes mad cow. And it's not transferable. It's not transferable. It strictly comes, right. It strictly comes from what you're feeding them. And so what happened, what we watched happen in 2004 and 2005 in the UK was this huge frenzy of mad cow, right?
Right.
Where,
I remember.
The whole nation basically went in and obliterated all the cows.
Yes.
I mean, millions and millions and millions of tons of beef and milk cows and everything were wiped out. They would just go out to these farmers' houses, take all of their cows, shoot them, put them in huge, huge stacks, like 30 feet high of all their dead cows.
Yep.
And they'd burn them right in front of the owners, and multiple different cow owners. They'd been in the dairy business their whole lives. They come from like five generations in England,
right,
where all their whole family history is dairy. And here somebody comes in, takes all their cows right in front of them, shoots them all, burns them in their backyard, more or less. And multiple different dairy farmers committed suicide within a week.
I remember that. I heard that.
Yep.
And you know what? That wasn't an isolated incident. They've done it in South America. They've done it in Canada. They've done it in the United States, taking people's pigs or chickens or cattle and destroyed them.
Right. And so this is just bear in mind, they are going to try to take diseases that can be easily fixed with antibiotics.
Yes.
All of these, there has not been a disease so far that is not human engineered that can cross an animal human barrier.
Right.
And the closest thing that they came up with was swine flu, and that was highly engineered. And so,
so they're working on the next project for sure.
Right. Well, you know, to even hear that the Chinese, the USDA and Chinese CCP lab are creating lethal bird flu viruses as part of a $1 million collaboration funded by U.S. taxpayers. Why does that not surprise me at all? Look at Wuhan.
Right.
Look at COVID. Look at exactly where all that was. So now they're going to start this whole target the food supply garbage again.
Right.
And so, boy, this is just very disturbing to me, especially considering it took 3 years of insanely hard work and organization and just a relentless organizing so people across the whole United States could be on the same page and go, this is garbage. This is foreign governance trying to shut down our food supply and all of our small farmers. And we've got to shove it back and absolutely not allow it.
That's right.
And so here it is again.
Now it's back.
It's back.
Oh boy. Well, thank you for bringing that update to us. That's alarming to say the least.
Yep.
But you got to stay on top of this stuff. You got to recognize it for what it is. They slide it under all these programs. It's about a major power grab. It's about control.
Yep, that's right.
Well, thank you for that.
Well, I think you're welcome.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
thank you for bringing the truth, even though we didn't want to hear it.
Right. As watchers on the wall, I mean, I would just as soon rather, you know, if I didn't have to worry about other people's well-being and their livestock and their whole way of life, I would run away from this going la 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 la,
yes,
you know, stick my fingers in my ears, because I know that this is a scourge.
Yep.
This is the biggest, most awful scourge on a nation.
Yes, it
and
is.
So I'm not so sure. I'm
okay.
Thankful.
Well, there's our updates. So you want to say goodnight to everybody?
Well, I sure do. You all, with that great and wonderful news to sleep on.
Right.
You all have a wonderful evening, and blessings to all of you out there.
That's right. You guys join us every weekday morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Pacific time. You can go to radiofreeredoubt.podbean.com, where we upload our shows. And as soon as Lady Liberty's campaign is over or wins or the primaries or the general, whatever it is, they're saving our time slot at the radio station because it's all of the red tape and everything involved with a federal election campaign and being on the radio, it was no small thing. So anyway, we are just doing the podcast for right now. We'll be back on the radio when the campaign ends, however that ends. And until then, you can listen to the podcast. And those are posted 7 a.m. every morning. So stick around. We've got some old-time radio coming up here. And then we'll close it out for the night. You guys have a blessed week. Be safe out there and be vigilant. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.